As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey everybody, it's Zach Harper from The Athletic, The Athletic's podcast, The Athletic Writing, Power Rankings, and now The Athletic's new YouTube show, The Restricted Area, a weekly NBA show with myself and Wasley Lambre, the cultural anthropologist, going around finding the most interesting stories from the NBA, giving some historical context, and trying to figure out just what the hell is going on. This week's episode is up. You go to The Athletic's YouTube channel, you will find it, in which we talk about the process. That's right. Daryl Morey has taken over the process in Philadelphia. But how did it get there? What did Sam Hinkie have designed? What did he do right? What did he do wrong? How was it taken from him? All that plus anonymous agents are taking shots at Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. Why don't they do it with anybody else? It's just Rich and Clutch. We get into that and a lot more. Again, go to the YouTube channel for The Athletic. Check out The Restricted Area. Smash that subscribe button. Hit that like. Give it a nice comment. Have some witty banter in the comments. Make sure you share it with your friends all around the internet. Give that link out. Retweet it on social media. All that fun stuff. And we'll see you every single week right there on The Athletic's YouTube channel for The Restricted Area.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show. Monday through Friday. On The Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, your Athletic NBA podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. This is Monday. It's the Basket Buds edition. I'm Zach Harper. Coming up on today's show, there's a trade for the Lakers. James Harden might want out, or he might want in, or we don't know. We'll discuss it. And we're going to play the new game, Guess That Draft Profile, coming up now. Hey, everybody. That seemed like an introduction that then had a pause, and then now we're ready for a show. But that's all just recorded in real time, unless, I don't know, Jade might do some fancy stuff because he's producing this thing. I am Zach Harper. That's Dave DeFour. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Wasney Lambre, the cultural anthropologist. We got Jake King. And guys, we got the draft coming up this week. I've said it before. I've said it again. The draft is my favorite day of the NBA year. Every single time. You got dreams coming true. You got trades going crazy. And I just think it's a fun spectacle that I can never get enough of. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but the draft is legitimately my favorite day of the NBA season.
I only like seeing the guys in hats for teams that they're never going to play for.
I love that.
That's the best.
Yes.
It is. And then looking back like 10 or 15 years down the line and laughing at the stuff that they wore.
Yes. Yes. Right? And we have some like cool moments. Actually, funny we should talk about the history of the draft coming up on, I don't know, Wednesday. If you go to the Athletic's YouTube channel, you get the restricted area this week. Waz and I go over the history, the long, strange history of the NBA draft. Waz, I got to say, it was a great episode.
Yeah, probably the best one yet. And I'm not just saying that because I want you guys to check it out. The first two are pretty awesome as well, but I think we're getting better and better finding our groove as we go. Definitely check that out. Just the nature of what the draft used to be with like 12 rounds and guys getting drafted at the age of 30 and guys not even reporting to their team because they decided a career being a mechanic was better. It's just crazy how far we've come when it comes to the NBA draft.
Yeah, and like the draft suits, the draft comps. We got some fun
territorial
stuff
in that
one. Territorial picks. Yeah, there's a weird history with the NBA draft. So check that out on YouTube on the Athletics NBA, or the Athletics YouTube page. The restricted area should be out Wednesday for the draft. All right, guys, let's start out. We have a trade to go over. Monday, the moratorium for transactions is lifted. Teams can start trading again, and one trade that's going to happen, the Lakers are sending Danny Green, three-time champion Danny Green, to the Oklahoma City Thunder along with the 28th pick in this year's draft in exchange for Dennis Schroeder. I've talked about this with a few executives in terms of Dennis Schroeder, where I've said I would never want him to be my starting point guard, but I love the idea of him as my backup point guard. That proved to be a great formula for the Thunder this season. He was second in sixth man of the year voting. So Trey, adding Schroeder, whether he ends up starting for the Lakers or not, I actually don't think matters because you have LeBron running the show. But adding Schroeder for Green and a pick, I think it's a win-win for both teams. I wrote this on The Athletic that both teams are highly beneficial from this because the Thunder get another draft pick. They have 16 draft picks between now and 2026. 16 first-round picks, I should say. And Danny Green's another flippable guy for them. They can flip that veteran to a contender and get, you know, first-round pick, second-round pick, whatever that ends up being. And then for the Lakers trade, they get Dennis Schroeder, who was really damn good last year.
So I like to call this a steal, but only a steal against the competitors, the other contenders that potentially wanted to get Dennis Schroeder. They get a second playmaker, you know, on the team, take the ball out of LeBron's hand at times. And then also he can shoot the ball pretty well, you know, something that the Lakers always needed. So, and then on the Thunder's end, they just got younger, you know, and they can dangle Danny Green to get more picks. I don't know if this is going to be a collection thing for Presti, but he already has a nice collection of picks and potentially could get some more picks for Danny Green. Or if Danny Green is bought out, I could see Danny Green heading to Milwaukee or Dallas or another playoff team that needs shooting.
I also think with this one, like, Schroeder's in a contract year, so he's going to want to be great, right?
Yeah, and I think guys can go either way in contract years, especially when you're trying to win a championship. It's not always good to have a guy thinking about money. But for the Lakers, like, that was their one weakness, was that they didn't have enough playmaking alongside LeBron. And he had too much on his shoulders all season long. And I think as he gets older and older, it's going to be more important to take some of that burden away from him. And I think Schroeder just fits really well. And I think they must look at it like they can replace Danny Green more easily than they could find someone like Dennis Schroeder. Because
I think they're wrong about that.
They'll miss Green.
They will miss Green.
Well, they don't have any wings either, right? Like that's got KCP. They've got LeBron, obviously. But there are a lot of wings on the
Caruso
market.
Caruso.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of a backcourt dude. Like, I guess I'm distinguishing.
There's no Danny Green on the market though. That's the thing. Like Danny Green, well, I know we're all going to be colored by what we saw in the playoffs.
Oh, that choker who missed a shot. Are you kidding me? Gave that choke artist.
Hey, now hold on. Now, he also wasn't hitting shots at all, right? Like, and he was hurt. But he was really good for them in the regular season. I mean, he is the only back-to-back champion in the league right now.
He also wasn't that bad. Good.
Wasn't that bad in the playoffs.
He was fine. Like, he was fine.
He still was fine. Good defensively. I think
Dave, and that's the harder thing
to
replace.
I think the theory of Danny Green is going to be hard to replace, but what he actually gave them,
the theory actually worked on the court, though. He created space. Teams were still guarding him. I mean, even on that shot he missed, part of why he missed it was because they were closing out so hard. That's valuable, man. Dennis Schroeder just had one really good year of shooting.
Yeah, but again, I think we saw this with guys like Markieff Morris, Rajon Rondo. I think the nature of the threes that you get to take when you play next to AD and LeBron.
And LeBron.
Are different. Yeah. Like, they're easier shots to make than the shots that he had to make in OKC. And I think having the practice of playing both on and off the ball in OKC's offense this year will serve him, you know, greatly on the Lakers, because oftentimes when they decide to play him next to LeBron, he's going to be the off ball guy, or maybe he will be a creator, initiator. You know, I just think honestly that he's sort of everything that Rondo does, just elevated. Maybe not mm-hmm. the defense, because Rondo, for whatever reason, was guarding people this year, like for the first time in like 8 years. But you know, it's a, because again, watching the Lakers this year, like watching Quinn Cook try to dribble the basketball sometimes, I'm just like, wow, like this team literally has two guys.
Come on, why do you have to go after Quinn Cook?
I'm not going after that? Him. I'm just saying, like, he's allegedly a point guard, and guys are freaking pressuring him up 94 feet, like, you know, like he's a high school player. So I think that's also going to be big
for the Lakers. KCP more leverage on his contract. I think KCP is probably going to get a little bit of a surprising contract.
They got to keep Clutch happy, man. They got to pay him.
They got to keep the wing. I mean, again, he's the only wing they've got right now.
Yeah, but I think
having LeBron
on your team, guys automatically want to play with him. Especially the 3-and-D guys always want to play with LeBron. Just as we were sitting down to record this podcast, Shams Charania reported that Wes Matthews has declined his player option.
Right.
So
Wes is going to be a Laker.
If Wes Matthews ends up on the Lakers,
so 60% of Danny Green.
But what? Yeah. But
maybe Dave was watching a different Danny Green this year. I love Danny Green, man. But good God, man, he was shooting. Every time he shot the ball, he was wide fucking open. You know what I'm saying?
He's like a 40% three-point shooter for his career. I mean, like, are we going based on Dennis Schroeder's 1 year?
No, we're going totally based on players. We're going based on the fact that,
but Danny for Green, what the Lakers need
is not 21 right? years old.
They need
anymore.
Wing defense. They need wing defense and shooting.
Well, okay,
that's
hold on.
What the Lakers need.
Would you rather have Danny Green in the 28th pick or Dennis Schroeder and Wes Matthews?
So now that is interesting.
100%.
I think I'd rather have the 28th pick.
No,
I'd rather have the 28th pick.
That dude's not going to contribute.
Maybe not. But definitely not. It's another. And the other thing is that Danny Green was really their only trade chip. And they got Dennis Schroeder, who's a fine player. But it's not like they got, I don't know, a guy who, like DeMar DeRozan, who I think could really like run second units for him and probably close games.
Honestly, Dave, I think we're doing the same stupid mistake we all made last summer. When we like, well, what the fuck is Rondo going to do on this team? Part. What the fuck is such and such going to do? They don't have to do much. They have AD and LeBron
on the team. But it's about
the
what they can do next to LeBron. And I trust Danny Green playing next to LeBron more than I trust Dennis Schroeder.
I sort of agree with that. I do also think at the same time, if they pick up Wes Matthews, which I think they're going to, mm-hmm. I'll take that. I'll take that and Schroeder over Green and whatever pick is not going to contribute.
So what's your – I mean, I know I'm like jumping way ahead and we'll have the trade deadline and all this other stuff, but what's your closing lineup look like? It's LeBron.
LeBron, AD, KCP, whatever you want to do. I mean, like
– Wes Matthews and Schroeder.
Wes and Schroeder, like that's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're taking a huge step back. Sometimes Caruso's going to close games. Sometimes Kuzma might close a game. Like, I just don't think
it takes that much,
man. The wing
was a soft spot for him. Yeah, Kuzma closed a game against the Wolves and they're up 30. Trey, we're about a week away from Kuz saying the earth's flat. Like, well, that's, I mean, if you follow his Twitter right now, like, it feels like Kuz is trying to tweet his way off the team.
Nah, yeah. They liked him, man. The Laker fans forgave him because he was giving out PS5s, man.
Oh, that's so, right. That's right.
So, you know, if you want to win over a Laker fan, bro, give him something, bro.
But, that's true.
Realistically, I know he's expecting a payout, and I just don't think the play has been consistent enough. But if he gets a fair shot at it, you know, and ends up on a team that doesn't, you know, need a win now and let him grow, I think he can be effective.
I did like the idea floated out of DeMar on the Lakers, right? And that's obviously DeMar's really good, so sure, of course. Mm-hmm. And even without the three-point shooting, like I do just like the idea of like you could play a lineup with DeMar, LeBron, and AD, and you can say, yeah, where's the spacing going to come? I was just like, I don't know, but they just bully everybody like they did last year. Like, yeah, yeah, like I believe in spacing, don't get me wrong, and I have a problem with DeMar DeRozan not taking any threes at all, especially not corner threes, but at the same time, like those three on the court together, yeah, that's just a matchup issue all the time. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they would get buckets.
Yeah, and so by moving Danny Green for Schroeder, that completely eliminates that. But I don't also don't know how realistic that was in the first place, you know?
Oh, well, yeah, because the Spurs are addicted to the 10th seed now.
Oh, they love it. And with the play well, now, I mean, now they can get you the play-in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's a win-win. Because like, Wash, yeah, to your point,
OKC, nobody lost. OKC gets what they want because they want to stink.
They
right. want, you yeah. know, quote-unquote assets. I you know, like the 28th pick in the draft, like really, I don't know what we're even talking about anymore.
I think there's a lot of value there, but that value won't be seen for like 2-3 years.
Right. And, you know, again, they get rid of Schroeder. Green is another, like you guys already mentioned, any contender can use a theoretical 3-and-D guy. Because, again, like, Danny Green was getting his ass bust on defense, y'all. Like, I don't know which Danny Green guys were watching last year. Because, like, he wasn't playing great defense. Like, he knows where to be, for sure. And, you know.
He's great in help.
But, like, yeah. guys were cooking him in the playoffs this year. So I'm just like, you know, and again, I'm watching scrap heap guys have games where they help win playoff games. Like Markieff Morris, like, this guy helped win playoff games against Denver and against Houston. Like, I don't think it's going to take a lot for guys to just contribute enough to win when your best guys are LeBron and AD, man. Like these guys, they erase so many freaking holes game.
His three-point accuracy is so much lower in the playoffs and in the finals than I thought it was.
Bro, Danny Green was not doing anything.
I do think it's fair to withhold judgment until we see who they replace Danny Green with. Because we can give the Lakers front office credit. They built a worthy team of role players around LeBron James and AD last year. I think a lot of guys who most fans didn't have a lot of trust in really played well for them, from KCP to Caruso to Rondo. So they built up a little equity there, but you still have to replace Danny Green. And I know Waz is going to shit on him for not actually being that good, but even being a decent wing, it's tough to replace that. Like, there aren't many great wings just available. And I do think a guy like Wes Matthews would be a good fit. There could be some other good fits out there. But I do want to see what the Lakers do before really grading this trade for them. Because last year, their defense was their thing. And Danny Green was a piece of that defense that mattered. And you replace him with Schroeder, your offense definitely gets more potent. But the defense, I think, will take a hit unless they replace Green with some competent wings.
Yeah, and also on top of that, like, even if he's not making shots, the threat of Danny Green still exists mm-hmm. for defenses, right? So that's important. I also do think, like, you know, not to ring the old tampering bell, which, by the way, I listened to Tampering on Tuesday with Sam Amick, but not to ring the old tampering bell, but, like, the Lakers probably make this deal also knowing, like, yeah, we know help's on the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, they've got to know that certain guys, like, I fully expect Wes Matthews to be a Laker.
We all just saw the Shams Charania tweet, and we all kind of grinned when we saw Wes Matthews' name popped up. Right, of course, exactly. He declined that. That MLE is going to be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be super.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right. Speaking of trades, I don't know what to do with this James Harden shit. So ESPN is reporting, like, 9 reporters at ESPN are reporting that James Harden... The Nets are exploring the idea of adding James Harden, which, like, yeah, of course, right? Like, oh, hilarious. Of course they are, right? Like, he's James Harden. And,
well, every team should be exploring that option.
Yeah. Right. So,
yeah,
but
he's a good player.
But if you look at the Nets, like if you're throwing in Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, that's a good start, right?
You know, and
for a trade package, like that's a that's a really good start. Now you have to worry because Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be a free agent after next season, but that's an enticing trade package to get.
How good
me
a start is that?
I mean, Caris LeVert is good. Spencer Dinwiddie is good.
They're both pretty good, but they're not like super young prospects. They're not super high upside prospects. Like they're both
they're
pretty
not
good
MVP
players,
candidates,
but
and they're not James Harden.
Yeah, but if I'm trading if I'm trading an MVP candidate with 2 years left on his contract, I'm looking for either some really good draft equity and or like top young prospects, and LeVert and Dinwiddie just don't do that for me.
If I'm why would I rather do that than call Minnesota and try to figure something out for their draft pick
right.
and some guys? Like,
yeah.
Why Phoenix. The hell would I want Caris LeVert instead of like some really young guys that potentially have some upside, like some
let me shine a little light on this. Let me shine a little light on this. Let's say you're an owner who doesn't have any fucking money, right?
Just hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Hypothetically. We could call this guy anything. We could call him Shulman Portita.
Furtado.
Right? Right. Yeah. Shulman Portita. Let's say you don't have any fucking money. Then, like, you kind of need a competitive team. Now, granted, we're not selling tickets. Well, actually, we might sell some tickets this year. But, like, if you're Houston, bottoming out could damage the bottom line even further. Like, you're not getting the rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast crazies going, yeah, time for the process in Houston. Like, you're not getting that
support. No, because
people
in Houston have nice weather.
Right.
They got better things to do.
They got better things to do. And that Rockets fan base, for the most part, is going to kind of, I think, like remind themselves of like, hey, Daryl Morey never bottomed out, right? They kept a competitive team. Like, you're going to want to watch some of this. And so I think grabbing a couple of guys who are still pretty damn good and whatever draft picks the Nets can cobble together. And I don't know if Nicholas Claxton does anything for you. Probably not. But like whatever young guys they have, right? Like if you can throw that kind of package together, that might not be the worst case scenario for you if you're Shulman Portita.
Nobody out there is listening to him and saying, God darn, he's just using words and he's just so much smarter than me, so I'm not going to become worth $5 billion. That book is bullshit, okay? He's just naturally smarter than me. I think you can see that I'm no smarter than
Shulman Portita. Man, that's messed up.
I don't know, man.
If they trade 3 years of player control of James Harden, an MVP candidate.
One of the four or five best guys in the league.
For two freaking, I don't even, like, NBA rotation cats?
No, either of those could be one year.
Worse than the Westbrook deal, where they gave stuff up to get Westbrook. That's an even worse deal. That's insane to me
it's an unrealistic
settle
trade.
For anything less than, you know, draft capital, some type
plus,
of
ownership
a young guy
stock
like
in the team.
Michael Porter. Plus. Or something what part of this organization
makes you think they're well run at this point?
Well, that's a great question.
They got a guy who wrote Shut Up in Business or whatever the name of that book is. Shut Up in Business, whatever that book is called. Like, who doesn't have
you
any business.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me, Zach Harper.
The idea, though, that James Harden could be on the move, whether it's the Nets or not, like, Trey, this, in theory, should get the floodgates of, like, here are incredible offers to choose from, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think once they start even just entertaining one, and once you entertain one, then, you know, everybody will start dangling and doing whatever they need to do to appease the Rockets, because, I mean, you know, obviously – for Titta, the broke boy, you know, he gonna try to get a chance to not pay these, you know, pay for these guys anyway. So, you know, there's a couple ideas where you can send Russ to Charlotte or Sacramento. I like him in Sacramento for Buddy and Marvin Bagley, but I don't want to do that to Sacramento long term. And then thinking about Harden, you know, if he really wants out, then free him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't think they're ever going to outlive 2018. And that's the peak. So talking about running back is just laughable and just the laughing stock of the league at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole run it, let's run it back thing and see what happens. Like that, I get you have to have that image be out there publicly. You can't be like, yeah, I guess we're going to have to trade him now. Like, you've got to show some, I don't know, moxie or whatever. But like, Jay, like, I gotta wonder, like, it's a different situation, but we had the Timberwolves when Jimmy Butler did his whole thing, right? Yep. He requested a trade. The idea was like, we'll get to training camp and everything will be fine. And then, like, spoiler alert, was not fine. Like, it didn't work out. I do think those situations exist, and maybe that exists with this Rockets team, but if the reports from Shams and Kelly Eco and Sam Amick are to be believed, and I think that's a pretty good trio of reporters right there to find that information, like, that culture may not cultivate, like, yeah, let's just show up to camp and see what happens.
Yeah, and if Russ wants out, which Shams reported that he did, what's there left for James Harden? What really is left there for him? You've already seen you can't win with Russ. Russ has a bad enough contract. They're not going to get good value for him. They're probably not going to get legitimately good players for him. That they're going nowhere. And so I understand why Harden wants out. The other thing to remember in this, players have so much power these days that if Harden does want to force his way to Brooklyn, then you can't put that idea past him. And I don't think Brooklyn would have the top package, but I do think if Harden is forceful enough, I want to go play with Kevin Durant, I want to go play with Kyrie Irving, then Brooklyn may have just enough to outlast all the teams that are scared of acquiring James Harden and then seeing him walk away in a couple of years.
We just saw that with Anthony Davis. Yeah. If you want to get to one team, it is
But possible. Also, Dave, the Lakers had assets, right?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, yeah. They did. I mean, legitimate assets. But, you know, depends on how you feel about Caris LeVert.
I mean, Eastern Conference, you could tell me both those dudes are going to be all-stars next year. I buy it, right? Like I think they're good. But in the West, if you're training them to the West, neither of those guys can be all-stars next year.
Right. Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. What if it's like a Brooklyn Nets, Boston Celtics situation? Wouldn't you like to have future draft picks for this Brooklyn Nets squad?
Dave, let me shake the table. What if KD went to management and had him trade Kyrie for James?
Oh, Trey, you are speaking my language.
Now we're talking.
Oh my God. Hold on, I need to fan myself. I almost passed out at that idea right there. Oh, the spice of it all.
That would be lovely. God. That would be lovely.
Oh, that's an insane idea. We did see the report that apparently not all of the major players in Brooklyn are on board with the potential
change. Oh, of course not. So. And I wonder who that might be. Spoiler alert, it's not DeAndre Jordan.
There's one basketball.
Yeah. No, can you do a your turn, not your turn, Joe?
Well, in the East, they could probably get to the conference finals that way, to be honest with you, just on talent.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you can, with Kevin Durant, you could just get to the conference finals. And the East is pretty good, but like, I trust Kevin Durant with just about anything on the court.
Well, it depends what he looks like, too. I still think he's an X factor. His health is a major, major concern for me after the Achilles. And if you bring in Harden, that's totally different. I think that team has so much talent. They would just overwhelm the rest of the Eastern Conference no matter what. But like, obviously the fit would be so weird. And Kyrie and Harden as a defensive backcourt would just be really, really bad.
Yeah, and Kyrie, who didn't like passing the ball to LeBron James? Wait, this dude took exception to the
Kevin Durant, who didn't like playing with Steph Curry. Right.
I feel like we got to make this trade happen at this point.
It would be fascinating. That would be just the endless fascination.
As a man who's been known to dip his toe into the chaos world every once in a while. I love it. I love the idea, Trey. Like, that is, because also, like, the just subtweeting or sub comments you're going to get from Kyrie, the idea of putting Kyrie and Russ on the same team if they don't trade Russ. Like, I love all of it.
Kyrie Russ pick and rolls would be fun, though.
But I also think, like that package just won't be enough. It won't, man. Like, when you think about it, and like, Harden has 2 years left, so it's not like he's going to walk right away.
Look, man, what if the Nets just give those two guys and like three first round picks?
But for some teams, it wouldn't be that hard to top that. Like, I'm thinking about Toronto. Like, would Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby
be better? Hell yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly. And like, they could do that and still have a squad left to try to compete with Harden. And so when you think about different things like that, Daryl Morey, who obviously loves James Harden as much as anyone has ever loved a person.
If Serge leaves, Marc Gasol's off to Spain, no OG, no Pascal.
Well, you can keep Serge. You can keep Serge.
You think Serge wants to play with Harden again?
For $20 million? Yeah.
Okay, fair. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sure does. And then, like, Daryl Morey's out there with a roster that definitely needs tweaking. Like, would Ben
that's
Simmons?
That's a much better trade piece.
Like, see, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
like,
the move is Simmons to the Warriors, Wiggins and the Wolves pick to Houston.
Oh, man, Wiggins is a perfect Tillman Fertitta player, too.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Woo-wee! Shut up in mid-range. New book coming out next fall.
Yeah, I just don't understand how every team in the league isn't on the phone with Houston calling about James Harden. Like, that's... And the idea that you would come out of that with Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, that just seems insane to me, man.
Yeah, but Waz, sometimes it's not about who has the best offer, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it really is the agents, like, orchestrating this shit and threatening in the future and all this stuff. Like, that stuff happens.
Also, Tillman being like, fuck Morey, I'm not going to trade him James Harden, he can go screw
right.
off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He told us he wanted to be with his family and then left his wife 2 days later.
Well, like, but also that might have been like, ooh, I don't have to fire Daryl and give him all his money. We can come to an agreement. There might be a little bit of admiration there, you know, in theory.
The Tillman Fertitta poor jokes have been on point tonight. Absolutely on point. But the other piece of this too, if Harden does want out, there are a lot of pieces on that Houston team that are interesting and could make a difference elsewhere. PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, Robert Covington. Like, there are a lot of pieces. If they become a fire sale situation, that is, they could change teams for the better with some of those pieces.
Hey, Zach, did you ever do your Fertitta impression?
I don't think I did.
I mean, tell us to shut up in business.
Shut up in business. I don't know if you guys, there's a video that Jade dropped in the chat weeks ago, and I watched this thing, and it's like a Tillman Fertitta, I don't know, like hype video. Yeah. Like a hype video of him like talking about business. And, Jade, I don't know if you want to drop just a couple of nuggets in here and then I can throw mine in.
Let's go play pickup basketball. Let's go to the office and play business. And that's what I do every day. I go to the office and play business. You got to know what you know and what you don't know. And I knew that I understood business.
you.
You know, I think you know if you know business or not. And people ask me, should I go get my MBA? And you know what I usually tell them? You know if you need to go get your MBA. If you don't have it inside of you and you understand economics and finance and operations of business, then you need to go get it. I knew that I didn't need it. It was just a God-given gift.
It is insane the way he talks about how to make it in business on this video. And I don't know if Shut Up in Business is the same. I don't know if that's a video version of that book. But it's a lot like some of these will be
Jade,
real quotes.
You could drop that in when we were just totally shitting all over him for like 5 minutes. You could just sprinkle it in.
I think you can pick up from talking to me that I'm not on a different level. These are basic tools. If you asked a chimpanzee to run a Bubba Gump shrimp restaurant and bar, he'd have it humming like a harmonica at a bake sale. Nobody's listening to him and saying, God darn! He's just using words and sentences and characters and putting them in a sequence or order where they should be, and he's so much smarter than me, so I'm going to become a $5 billion. That book is bullshit. He's just naturally smarter than me. I think you can see I'm no smarter than anybody else in this room. Throw me in the goldfish bowl and give me a roommate. We're both swimming out the same way. I just use certain little basic tools to be successful every day. Create restaurants from certain Tom Hanks movies people want to go to. Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. The Terminal Food Court. Castaway Island Food. Follow 13 ice cream flavors. Take the word no out of your vocabulary. When you ask the president for billions in handouts during a pandemic, don't let him say no. Beg him.
Okay, does Donald know how to get stuff done? Yes.
Use the 95-5 rule.
Listen, where are you?
Blame 95% of your business failings on Daryl Morey and 5% on the refs. Be the bull at whatever you do.
We're always on the same page.
If you want that to mean the cow with horns, it does. If you want that to mean bullshit, it does. You just got to keep punching, run your business, and realize until they come and shut you down and lock the doors or you can't get product until you can't make payroll, then again, just ask the president for a handout. Don't take no for an answer. You tax the luxury. Don't let the luxury tax you.
I'm just going to tell you what I think from an owner's perspective, okay? I don't know what lame duck means because he's under contract. I think his agent did me a favor, okay? Because if for some reason we had a horrible year and we thought we needed to make a coaching change, we just got through paying off one of the other coaches, I believe. So I hope we win a championship and Mike comes and puts a gun to my head.
You tax the luxury, don't let the luxury tax you.
I forgot I was going to do that. All right. Before That's we so go, good. We do have the NBA draft coming up this week.
God.
We do have the draft coming up this week. I wanted to play a game. Jade inspired this in a different chat of name that draft profile, okay? Now, there are some draft profiles that I'm actually not going to read the author. I don't want to shit on any authors because some of this stuff is hard and a lot of this stuff is from long ago. And with hindsight, as Waz would say, hindsight is 50-50. And so with that, it's easy to see who is wrong and who is right or whatever. But I do want to read some draft profiles from long ago. So this one, I think you guys can get this one easily, okay? And Waz, you know this one, so you don't guess on this one.
Okay, yeah. I'm out of it.
This one. He's the real deal. I almost did that in my Tillman Fertitta impression. Once you get in it, you can't get out of it.
Well, if you were the real deal, that's what you would have done.
I just turned my pockets inside out, nothing in them. All right. He's the real deal. He's really one of a kind. He runs the floor, handles the ball, shoots the NBA three-pointer, plays with his back to the basket. So you can slot him at the 3, 4, or 5. This is a player from at the beginning of the millennium. Towards the beginning of the millennium, I would say.
Nicholas Giedishvili.
It's a solid guess. Anybody else?
I have no idea. Kirilenko?
Solid guess as well. Anybody else? That is Darko Milicic.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mana from heaven.
Yeah. All right. This one is from 13 years ago. A long, athletic forward who is very skilled, explosive leaper with good lateral quickness. He has long arms, 7'4" wingspan, and big hands, which allows him to play even bigger than he actually is. Excellent shooter and ball handler, fundamentally very sound. Excellent basketball IQ. Has really improved his rebounding. Hard worker. 13 years ago. Any guesses?
13. Gotta be Anthony Randolph.
Definitely. It's 07. For sure, Anthony Randolph.
I have no idea, so I'll go with the consensus.
All right. Yi Jian Lin.
Hey, look, he worked that chair.
He did. He worked that chair.
Gave that chair buckets.
Absolutely. All right, this one. Great athlete with long arms. Deep, deep range on this jump shot. Excellent hands. Amazing rebounder. Will score on you inside and out. Uses power in the post combined with excellent leaping ability. Has an excellent jump shot with NBA three-point range. Has the versatility to play both the three and the four on virtually every team in the league. Character issues are the biggest question marks. Has been accused of being immature. Had some off-the-court issues as a high school player. As far as basketball goes, there's very little to complain about. Does need to work on his handle. Everything else looks great.
What year is this? How far?
This is around the same year as Yi Jian Lin. I'll say that.
DeMar Johnson.
Oh, wow. Wow. DeMar Johnson way back there. But 07? Man.
Not necessarily 07, but around that time. Maybe a year before, maybe a year after.
No idea.
Rashad McCants.
Oh, wow.
I like that. That was a good guess.
No more guesses?
Three, four.
Oh, man. You can see him on Instagram screaming, "We them ones" after every little highlight. It's Michael Beasley.
Yes.
Beasley.
Beasley.
Man, who wrote that scouting report?
I'll tell you what, though. Beasley had a good enough career. I didn't even think of him.
Wow. Like, okay. All right.
Yeah. He stuck around for a while.
He did stick around for a long time. That's fair.
Yeah. Like he was.
He's going to be on the Nets next year, right?
He might be.
Super team.
I mean, the Lakers do need wing help.
Yeah. All right. So do the Clippers. All right. Lacks ideal size for a center. Not a great athlete. Plays below the rim due to a lack of explosive leaping ability. Lacks lateral quickness, making it difficult for him to guard on the perimeter. Has conditioning issues. Has had knee problems in the past. Is he just a more skilled version of Tyler Hansbrough?
Chuck Hayes?
No clue.
Jay? Nobody?
Emeka Okafor?
It's got to be a white guy, because they wouldn't bring up Hansbrough if it wasn't a white guy.
It is a white guy.
That's a great point.
It
right
is a
there.
White guy. Kevin Love.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's insulting.
Whoa.
Right. All right.
All disrespect to Tyler Hansbrough. That's insulting to Kevin Love.
Wow.
Yeah, that is very insulting. Although I will say,
even fat
he was
Kevin
fat
though,
back then.
He was fat back then.
I'm not trying to body shame.
That
sorry,
wasn't
guys.
Banana Republic Kevin Love. That was Hot Topic Kevin Love. All right. The 7-footer often gets compared to Dirk Nowitzki because of his versatility, ball handling skills, and his silky smooth jumper. He likes to play out on the perimeter and can really do it all from out there. He also picked up the rep as a very solid defender. While he's not quite the athlete that Nowitzki is, he's more athletic than it appears at first glance. And he guesses
not quite
all.
The athlete that Nowitzki is.
Remember Dirk? Yikes. Hey, young Dirk could go a little bit.
I know. I'm just saying, though, if you're not quite the athlete Dirk is, you better be pretty skilled.
Any guesses?
I'm gonna say Jokic.
This person in the league?
No.
Okay.
But they did have a longish career.
Okay. I don't know. It's got to be a white guy.
Got to be a
probably
European.
Andrea Bargnani.
Bargnani?
Bargnani makes perfect. Sense. We should have known. That was the first one I've thought, like, we should have definitely known.
Yeah,
that,
that one. That one's, that one's
listen,
a layup,
we got to
yeah.
do something about this as an industry. Just the lazy no. comp.
Well, a guy it. Who can make a make no, jump shot it. Is the next Dirk. Well,
that's right.
And me and Zach talked about it on the show. Like, certain guys sort of age out being compared to. Like, when's the last time they compared somebody to Bird? When, like, for – it felt like 20 years. If you were a white guy and could dribble at all Keith and make Van, a jump shot.
You were Bird.
Yes, Keith Van Horn yeah. was the classic next Bird.
God. Oh, my God.
Okay, one more. This last one, no one's going to get this one. I'll even give you the year. It's 2010. Very skilled big men with soft hands, good basketball IQ, tough, solid perimeter shot, solid rebounder and excellent shot blocker, excellent passer for a big man, soft touch on his jump shot, shooting range extends all the way to the three-point line, better athlete than you think.
This is somebody who totally flopped
no,
out.
No player so. Comps?
No player comps, at least not from what I saw.
Did this person have a decent career? I love that we've turned this into like 20 questions.
I want to say like 7-8 years.
Okay.
Cole Aldrich.
Any other guesses?
I don't know. Who else was in that draft?
Luke Herangode?
Are we only naming white guys?
Yo, that's a
well,
crazy
they
name.
Said he was a better athlete than you'd think. So that's normally white guy code.
That's true. That's a good point. Any other guesses?
No idea.
Jay nailed it. Wow. Cole Aldrich. How did you get that?
You told us it was 2010 draft. So I cheated a little bit. I pulled up the 2010 draft.
Look, even with that, I didn't think you would get it. So that's impressive.
Boom.
Cole Boom. Aldrich. Great guy.
Huh. Had to be a white
Range
dude.
Range to 3-point line.
That's what got me. That's why I included it. I read that. I was like, huh. How about that?
That scout was ahead of its time.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, if Cole Aldrich gets drafted today, it's the second pick.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about James Wiseman.
We're comparing him to Jokic.
Exactly.
So or Ben Affleck.
Jokic. Or Ben Affleck, the same
Cole
thing.
Cole Aldrich, man. Number 11 pick.
He was a nice little career.
Knockdown shooter from three.
Knockdown, yeah. Extends all the way out. Soft touch on that jumper. I mean, we never saw the jumper in however many years he played, but soft jumper.
That dude was the definition of a big stiff.
Oh, man. If he came around in, like, 95, that dude...
Right, in 95, he would be...
Jim McElvain.
Yeah, exactly.
That's he would have been considered slightly mobile.
It would have either been Jim McElvain or Evan Eschmeyer, right? Like, it would have been either of those guys.
High flyer Cole Aldrich.
Like Cole Aldrich would have played Greg Ostertag out of the league.
Oh, my God. Imagine if he had been around in the 60s, he would have been
wild. By the way, for the
Big
guy
Country who, Reeves.
For the guy whose range extended all the way out to the three-point line, 0 3-point attempts in his career.
I love that. That scout,
shouts
whoever
to him,
that
shouts
scout
to him
was.
Being a star in his role.
Yeah, absolutely. Also... Never hit a mid-range jumper. Well, at least from 16 to 23 feet, according to Basketball Reference. So there you go. That's Cole Aldrich. So that's our game. Name this draft profile. Any expectations for the draft on Wednesday, guys?
I think there's probably going to be a bunch of trades.
All right, that's safe.
Or possibly not.
Or also a possibility. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good scouting right there.
I mean, the fact that we already know the first trade that's happening tomorrow. Let's me know that we're probably about to see a bunch of stuff. I think the financial implications of, the hiatus and the money lost there, we're going to see a lot of that come into play ahead of free agency.
I think there's a lot of reasons why there could be a flurry of moves.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
Number one, there's no super team out there. A lot of teams can think they're one move away from having a real chance.
Wow. Jay refuses to believe in the Miami Heat even still.
So you think they're much better than everybody else and nobody else has a shot?
I don't know, man. I mean, I saw them make the finals pretty easily.
The Warriors traded player exception expires apparently Wednesday. That's from John Hollinger.
Right. But this draft is bad enough at the top that people could want to trade out of picks that teams normally don't ever trade out of. And then the financial pressure of
the pandemic could force some teams to do some things too. I just think there's a chance that it's going to be wild, wild draft, and I'm looking forward to that.
Who goes number one?
It's got to be LaMelo. I guess it's him or James Wiseman. A lot of it's going to depend on, you know, who they trade that pick to, which is
That was going to be my next question. Who picks number one?
D'Angelo Russell can't escape the balls.
That is a tough sentence.
That is, right?
That's I think we're going to end on that sentence. That is the Basketball Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show. Make sure you check out the Restricted Area. It's coming out again this week, I believe on Wednesday. It's myself and Waz having some fun on the Athletic's YouTube page with the long, strange history of the NBA Draft. Make sure you check out the other shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. And on this feed, Tampering on Tuesday, Hoops to Jason on Wednesday, Point of Contention on Thursday, Nursery Road on Friday, all that good stuff. No Dunks, all the team-specific shows. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you're getting the best coverage out there. Sam Vecenie has his mock draft coming out on Monday, I believe, so you don't want to miss that with all the good information and intel he's got there. So for Waz, for Trey, for Jay, for Dave, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.